We have finished the book of Genesis. Thank you, sir. We have finished the book of Genesis, and we're ready to go into the book of Exodus. But there's a lot of transition that takes place here. There's a lot to see between the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus, and just to kind of carry with you. Sometimes you turn to the book of Exodus, and we don't want you to turn to the book of Exodus and forget the book of Genesis. There's too much over here to bring with us. So let me ask you just some key things to see if you remember anything about the book of Genesis, okay? Are you ready? What's the best book in the world? It's like 11 people. I mean, how many people are here tonight? And it's like 11 people who knew the Bible is the best book in the world. That's kind of embarrassing. I think we just need to have a prayer right now. And, you know, pray to God to bless people with wisdom. All right. Well, the rest of you heard the 11 people say it. So let's try that again. What's the best book in the world? All right. Y'all learned quick. Okay. We don't need a special prayer. So the best book in the world is the Bible. There's three men. If you go through the book of Genesis, there's going to be three key men. There's more than this, but there's just three key men I want to make sure that we grab with us and we carry with us. We need to grab these three key men and tuck them in our pocket and carry them with us through the rest of the Bible, okay? Who is the first man? Adam. Is that important to know? Is Adam talked about in the New Testament? Are Adam and Jesus talked about together in the New Testament? So the first man was who? I thought who was on first base. Four of you know what I'm talking about. All right, so the first man is Adam. Who built the ark? Noah. Is that important to know? Is Noah coming to the play in the New Testament anywhere? Yeah. Our salvation is likened to Noah's salvation. He built the ark by faith. He obeyed God. We need to obey God and do what he says. All right, third man we need to carry with us. Stick in our pocket, carry with us from the book of Genesis. Who sacrificed his own son? Abraham. Somebody says, oh, he didn't sacrifice him. He had the knife up and he was going. He was sacrificing him. He had a son tied up and laid down there. He was sacrificing him. Is Abraham a key figure in the Bible? Hello. Is he mentioned in the New Testament? Hello. All over the place. So he's somebody we've got to grab with. Now, to Abraham, there were three promises that were made. Who else did God make these same promises to? Isaac. Do you know anybody else that he made those same three promises to? Jacob. Same three promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three promises are what? He's going to make him a what? Great nation. He's going to make him a great nation. How many kids did Abraham have when God told him that? Zip. Didn't have any kids. Do you need any descendants to have a great nation? It would be really helpful. Abraham was rich, but I don't think God wanted him to go buy a nation. I think God tended to have a nation. So I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to put that great nation where? In a great land. And through your seed, through your descendants is going to come what? Who? Great Savior, great seed. That great seed, that great Savior is going to come through the line, through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's three key things. You've got to carry those with you all the way through. Now, when we leave Genesis, how many books are in the Bible? It's like 17 people who knew that. So it's better than the first part of there. Okay. How many books are in the Bible?
66.
What's the first book in the Bible?
Genesis.
The Bible covers the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 to get down to the timeline of Jesus is about 4,000 years. And then from Jesus to now is about how many years? About 2,000. So we've got about 4,000 and then about 2,000 since Jesus. So the Bible covers about 4,000 years. We've just covered the book of Genesis. How many years? And this is on your overview card, the white card, I think it's the priest card. How many years are covered by the book of Genesis? 2,500. I think it's on the dispensation question. It might be on your prophet question on the blue cards too. 2,500 years. 66 books, and the first book covers 2,500 years. What if every book covered 2,500 years? That'd be a long time. But the first book covers 2,500 years. Now, there's three dispensations talked about in the Bible. You know what they are? Patriarchal, Mosaic Age, Christian Age. Book of Genesis is the first dispensation. That's the first, I want you to think about that. Here's 66 books, and what do we have in the book of Genesis? We've got the first dispensation, the patriarchal age, all wrapped up right there in the book of Genesis. Now, we could grab the book of Job and bring the book of Job over here. Chronologically, you grab the book of Job and you bring the book of Job over here, and it fits within that dispensation. You take the first 80 years of the book of Exodus, and it fits in that dispensation. But that's the book of Genesis. It's the first dispensation, 2,500 years. How many books are in the Old Testament? It's about 27 people knew that one. So we're doing better. Okay, so did you say 39? Did I say 27? 39 books in the Old Testament. So the first book covers 2,500 years. The next 38 books cover 1,500 years. 2,500, 1,500 over the next 38 books. What's that second dispensation called? Mosaic Age. What's God doing? When God goes from Genesis to the book of Exodus, God is narrowing down and choosing His nation. Narrowing down and choosing His people. Who are they going to be? The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So his descendants are called the children of Israel. God narrowed down and selected that nation and made a covenant with that nation alone. When we get to, we're not getting to Mount Sinai. Well, we're going to get to Mount Sinai sort of tonight, but we're not getting to the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai tonight. Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 20. God makes a covenant with who? What nation did God make a covenant with? With Israel. We need to know that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 5. He made a covenant with Israel at Mount Horeb. He didn't make a covenant with the other nations. He narrowed down, selected that nation. Is that important? Through what nation was Jesus going to come? Nation of Israel. So, was it important for that nation to survive for 1,500 years? Was it important that that nation not get destroyed over 1,500 years? Was it important that when they disobeyed God and went into captivity, that they didn't just disappear? Was it important that they stick around for 50? Yeah. We got to have Jesus come over here in the New Testament. So this nation has to survive. Even when they're disobedient, going to captivity, God kept talking about a remnant that was going to come out. But here's something we're going to see. The book of Genesis. What does Genesis mean? What does the word mean? Beginning. You got 25 years, 2,500 years of beginning. Book of Exodus. This is on your prophet card. Book of Exodus. What does it mean? Exit. You're going out. Going out of where? Going out of Egypt. When you read the next 38 books of your Old Testament, guess what God is going to keep on saying? I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Keep reading the Old Testament. What are you going to keep reading? God identifying Himself as the God who did what? Brought you out of the land of Egypt. Was that important? Was that key for them to remember? I'm the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. What's the big deal about that? What were they? Look on your, I think this is on your priest card. Priest card, the fate of the Israelites in Egypt after Joseph's death. They became slaves. So in the book of Genesis, God's people, these how many descendants, how many were there that moved? Jacob and his descendants, how many of them moved down to the land of Egypt? 70. 70 of them moved down there down into the land of Egypt. So there's 70 of them there. Were they treated well? Were they welcomed when they arrived? Were they treated well by Pharaoh? Were they given the choice land of Goshen? We're glad you're here. The king of Egypt welcomed them and said, we're glad you're here. You're Joseph's family, you're my family, and we love to have you here. Did that last? Well, what is Exodus chapter 1? Is it verse 7 or verse 8? Verse 8. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8. There arose a new king. This is a bad deal. A new king over Egypt who didn't know who? Didn't know Joseph. The first Pharaoh loved Joseph, knew Joseph, treated Joseph's family well. This Pharaoh? Who's Joseph? Who cares about Joseph? And so they go from being the favored family to becoming slaves. Is that a big deal? Is that bad? They go into bondage. When God brings them out of Egypt, what is He doing? He is bringing them out of bondage. Does that have any New Testament Any New Testament relevance? God brought them physically out of bondage to Egypt. When you get to the New Testament and Jesus dies on the cross, what does he do? He's bringing us out of the bondage of sin. God kept reminding Israel, I'm the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. What does God keep reminding us of every first day of the week? I'm the God who brought you out of the bondage of sin. That's a key to bring over. That's why the Exodus, the second book of your Bible, that's why that book is so important. And so the book, the word means exit. And the evil king, the very next question on your prophet card, very next question is, the evil king in Exodus was who? Pharaoh was the evil king, and so they become slaves. But what was interesting about them becoming slaves? They were actually, if they had realized it, what was Pharaoh so concerned about? Why did he make them slaves? You could destroy us. If people really realized all this, you could destroy. So we're going to make you slaves and oppress you and do all of this. And so what's the whole point of this? Who arises? Who is there that arises during this time that is the key figure from in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Boy, can't get that in a book in my head. Who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament? Moses. The second dispensation. You got the patriarchal age and the Mosaic Age. Who's that named after? Moses. The law that was given to Israel at Mount Sinai became known as the law of Moses. Here's a key figure in the Old Testament. And he's born in the midst of a nation that's persecuting his people. So much so persecuting his people that what should have happened to Moses when he was born? He should have been killed. He should have been killed. Midwives should have taken and killed him, except not going to happen. And so his parents, who are his parents? What card is this on? This is on, I think this is on your king card. Moses' parents. Moses' parents are named what? Amram and Jochebed. If you're looking for names of your grandchildren, if you're having grandkids one of these days and your children are saying, boy, we're trying to figure out what to name them. Jochebed. Have you ever met somebody named Jochebed? I mean, that's a powerful name for a woman to have. So here's Jochebed. You think anybody's going to mess with Jochebed when she has a baby? No, she's Jochebed. We're not going to kill her baby. So here's a question for you. This isn't on a card. I don't think this is on a card. What tribe were they from? Levi. Look in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. Amram and Jochebed are from the tribe of Levi. Is that important? Is that important to know? Well, Moses had a brother and a sister. This is on your prophet card. Moses had a brother and a sister. God blessed him with one of each so he could know the challenges of having one of each. So God blesses him with a brother and a sister. What are their names? Aaron. Is that the brother or the sister? That's the brother. And who's the sister? Miriam. Are they older or younger than Moses? They're older. When Moses was 3 months old and laid in that ark there and put out on the water, who was it that was standing afar off and watching all this happen? His sister named Miriam. She's obviously older than him. We don't know exactly how much older, maybe as much as 7 years older. Is Aaron older than he is? Yeah, over in Exodus chapter 7, I think it's verse 7. I think it's 7:7. Exodus chapter 7, verse 7 is where Moses is 80 years old and Aaron is 83 years old. So Aaron is 3 years older. Moses is the baby in the family. You know any babies in the family? Yeah, you know some babies in the family. Moses is the baby in the family. They weren't making eyes or anything over here, Grayson. They weren't making faces or anything when I asked them if they know any babies in the family. So Moses is the baby in the family. And that baby is put in a little ark and put out on the water. And who is it that finds him? Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Where did he get his name? Who gave him his name? Mom or Pharaoh's daughter? Pharaoh's daughter gave him his name. Why did she name him Moses? Because he was taken up out of water. That's what Moses meant. I've taken him up out of the water. And one of the coolest things in all of the Bible is Little Miriam, we say little Miriam, we have no idea how old she is. Little Miriam runs over and says, oh, that's a Jewish child. Would you like me to go and find a Jewish woman to nurse this child for you? Oh, that's such a great idea. You're such a promising young lady. You have wonderful ideas. Yes, please, go and find a Jewish woman to nurse this child for me. Who does Miriam go and find? His mother. So mom comes, nurses her own son, and gets paid for it. Isn't that awesome? That's one of the most beautiful stories in all of the Bible. That Pharaoh's daughter doesn't know what's happening. So here, go get a Jewish woman. She can nurse him, and I will pay her to do this. Oh, wouldn't you have liked to have lived back in that day and gotten paid to nurse your own child? Well, she's the only one in history that we know that got paid to nurse her own child. And now he's raised in Egypt. And Acts chapter 7 says that he comes to know all the ways of the Egyptians because Moses is educated in all of the ways of the Egyptians. So, tell me the child who was, this is the, on your prophet card, the name of the baby that was found in a basket? That's Moses. How long did Moses live? This on your king card, no, priest card. Age of Moses when he died. How long did he live? 120 years. He lived 120 years. What's 120 divided by 3? 40. Very good. All right. So if you take his age and you divide it up by 3, you get 40 years in each. And that's exactly how his life works out. First 40 years of his life, where did he live? Egypt. He was raised in Egypt for 40 years. Well, what happened after 40 years? Why did he leave Egypt? Where is this? This is on your priest card. Reason Moses left Egypt. He killed an Egyptian. If you killed an Egyptian, you'd leave Egypt too, wouldn't you? Well, when the Israelites found out what happened, they got scared about him. And Acts chapter 7 tells us that Moses thought they would recognize, hey, I'm your leader. I've come to rescue you. And instead they say, we don't want you. Go away. So where does Moses spend the next 40 years of his life? In Midian. He goes from thinking he's the favored one to deliver Israel to being a shepherd out in the desert of Midian. But hey, he goes over there and he finds his wife. I mean, there's got to be some good to this, right? He goes over and finds his wife. What's her name, by the way? Zipporah. Again, grandchildren's names, Jochebed, Zipporah. I haven't met any kids named Zipporah. So his wife's name is Zipporah. Who is her father? Jethro. What's Jethro's other name? Reuel. Good. All right, one person remembered that. So Jethro is his father-in-law. Reuel is his other name. He's over in Midian as a shepherd. So 40 years, Egypt. 40 years in Midian. When Moses is in Midian and he's 80 years old, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, what verse is this where he took them to the back of the desert? Verse 1. Exodus chapter 3, he took the flock to the back of the desert. And verse 1 says, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. What's another name for Horeb? Sinai. The mountain of God, Mount Sinai. Moses comes to Mount Sinai, and what does he see at Mount Sinai? A burning bush. Big deal. I mean, he probably saw some other burning bushes out there in the desert, didn't he? What's so unusual about this burning bush? It's not burning up. It's not being consumed. And so Acts chapter 7 says he marveled at that. Whoa, what's going on with that? And so he goes over to see what's happening. And when he goes to check out this bush that's on fire but not being consumed, what happens? The bush talks to him. Would that get your attention? I mean, if you're Naaman and that donkey starts talking to you, that gets your attention. A bush starts talking to you. This isn't Disney, folks. All right, this isn't Shrek or anything like that. I mean, we're not talking about some animated feature. We are talking about a bush, and a voice comes out of that bush. What did that voice sound like? Did it sound, what was it, high-pitched, low-pitched, medium-pitched? I mean, where's the voice in your mind? I mean, we've all got the idea of what God sounds like, right? You don't have a clue what it sounded like. But God spoke to him, and what did he say, John? Take off your sandals, for your standing on holy ground. You got your prophet card out? Prophet card, look at your memory verses. Memory verses on your prophet card. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. Take your sandals off your feet because you're standing on holy ground. What made that ground holy? Did God just pour some holy water on it? I mean, what made that ground holy? The presence of God made that ground holy. God's presence and God's designation of setting something apart for His purposes makes something holy. That's what makes us holy, not our goodness. But, you know, that dirt wasn't so good that God said, wow, that's holy dirt. That's great dirt. That's not the case. And He doesn't look at us and say, wow, that's a great person. That's a holy person. No, what God sets apart, what God designates and sets that apart for His purposes, that's what is holy. And so Moses comes, sees this bush on fire. God speaks to him out of the bush. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Would that have gotten your attention? Would you have taken your sandals off? Or would you have said, I'm okay. You know, I've got really bad tan lines right now, and I don't really want to take these things off. Would you have taken them off? Coming off. And you stand there barefoot before God. And God tells you the plans that He has for you. Imagine being Moses. Moses thought this was going to happen 40 years earlier. Now it's happening when he's 80 years old. How would you like to be 80 years old and God says, hey, got a plan for you, and it's going to take up the next 40 years of your life? Oh, fantastic. I'm going to make it to 120. So Moses, 40 years, first 40 years, he lived where? Egypt. Second 40 years, he lived where? Midian. Last 40 years, he lived where? In the wilderness. Wow, what a gig. He goes from talking to God at this bush to wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You think that's what Moses had in mind? Don't believe that's what Moses thought was going to happen. And yet, that is what happened. We'll talk about all of that and get to all of that in due time. So, God is talking to Moses from this burning bush. And Moses says, okay, when I get back to the people, suppose they ask me questions. I need some kind of a cheat sheet. I need some answers to give them. Suppose they ask me, what's his name? What am I supposed to say your name is? On your priest card, name of God revealed to Moses. I am who I am. And all of those letters are capitalized. You look in your Bible and all of those letters are capitalized. Why is that? Because it's a way of designating that says this is God's name. And not just God's name. This is a special way to talk about God. Why did he say I am who I am? That's kind of a funny name. Why did he say that's his name? Is he the God who was? Yeah, I knew that God way back then. Yeah, he was a nice guy. Is he the God who was? No. Is he the God who, well, he will be. I've heard there's a God who's going to come one of these days, and boy, that'll be nice to meet him. Is he the God who will be? Is he the God who's right here and now, but he wasn't before and he is not going to be afterwards? The I am who I am indicates he is the ever-living God, that he is the eternal God, that he is the ever-present God. Is he omnipotent and omniscient? Yes, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is the self-sufficient God. Does he need somebody else to take care of him? Is he like those idols that need to be made and then dressed and food laid down before him? No. He is the I am. And so in John chapter 8, in verse 58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. That's pretty cool. You look at your Bible in John chapter 8, it's in capital letters. Before Abraham was, I am. Was Jesus just saying that he lived before Abraham? That he existed before Abraham? Is that the extent of what he's saying? No. He's pulling from Exodus chapter 3. By the way, and we've mentioned this in a lesson before. In Exodus chapter 3, is it verse 2 and verse 3? It says it was the angel of the Lord who appeared to him. Study the angel of the Lord throughout the rest of your Old Testament. We've had a lesson on this before. That's talking about some kind of an appearance in the Old Testament of Jesus, of the Son of God. It's not an angel. It is the angel of the Lord who spoke to Moses out of that bush. It's Jesus speaking to him out of that bush. And Jesus says, not just in Abraham's day, that's after Abraham, but before Abraham, I am. I am the Almighty, the All-Knowing, and the All-Present God. Did the Jews like it when Jesus said that? Oh, they didn't like that at all. Is it important to know on your priest card the name of God revealed to Moses, I am who I am? Is there any New Testament significance to that fact? Oh, yes. Very much so. And so God has this conversation with Moses, and we're going to continue this conversation a little bit next week. But Moses begins to make excuses. You know anybody who makes excuses? Moses was really good at it. Oh, I can't talk very good. I'm not a very good spokesman. Well, I can't do this. And God had an answer for every excuse. Did your parents always have an answer for every excuse? You start making an excuse and they're like, not done. And here's God. Moses, nice try. Nope, I've got all of that covered. So he starts making excuses. And so he's going to go before Pharaoh, and God gave him two signs. He's going to go and say four words, basically. We normally say four words, right? Is it four words? What are the four words we normally think he's going to say to Pharaoh? Let my people go. Good, four words. Let my people go. Why is Pharaoh going to listen to Moses? Moses, yeah, you were raised here. We knew you all of those years. You're nobody. Why should I listen to you? Well, would you listen to somebody? Who are the two signs? The first sign that God gave Moses. God said, see that staff in your hand? See that rod in your hand? What do you do with it? Throw it down. What happened to it? Turned into a snake. Would somebody who threw a rod down and it became a snake, would they have your attention? If you were a little bit sleepy that day, if you've got ADD or something going on, and all of a sudden somebody throws a rod down and it becomes a snake, would you be like, boom? Would you be right there? Would you be paying attention to what's going on? Would Pharaoh pay attention to somebody who did that? Remember what God told him to do after that? Go and pick it up. Whew! Yeah, okay, God. You had to peel Moses off the ceiling or something to go and pick up that snake. So he picks up the snake, and what happens to that snake? Would that be cool? It turns into a rod again. How many times do you think Moses... How many times do you think he did it? The Bible doesn't tell us. We're just thinking, what would you do? Some of you would be like, I am never throwing that thing down again. We're going to wrap that thing up. We're going to hang it from the ceiling, and that is never touching the ground again. But it did. What was the second sign God gave to Moses? Put your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. Huh. What would you be if you were Moses? Sure, God, I'll put my hand in here. Go ahead. All right, now what's going to happen? What? Leprosy? God, not cool. Put it back in. What happens? It's gone. Would that have your attention? If somebody walked up to you and they were going to shake your hand, here, I'm going to shake your hand, boom, leprosy. Would that get your attention? Why did God give them these signs? So that when he went before Pharaoh, Pharaoh wouldn't just listen to the words that came out of Moses' mouth. He would be impressed by the signs that, oh no, only God can do these kind of signs, therefore I got to listen to these words. Let me ask you something. In the New Testament, were there ever any miracles that those early Christians did? What were the purpose of those miracles? Those miracles don't exist today. What was the purpose of those miracles in the first century? To confirm the message being spoken. So that when somebody came to town and said, hey, here's what God tells you to do, why should I listen to you? Because I can do a miracle. And if this miracle can only be done by God, then these words must be coming from God. We learn that back from Moses going before Pharaoh. By the way, there's a third sign. It's not on your card. Not one we talk about very often. There was a third sign. God says, if he won't listen to the first two, take some water and pour it on the ground, and what is it going to become? Blood. You remember that happening? You remember what happened to the water in Egypt? Would that get your attention? That'd get my attention. So God has got Moses ready to go. Ready to go before Pharaoh. Ready to tell him to let his people go. Last question. This is on your prophet card. Last question. When Moses made the excuse that he wasn't a very good speaker. Not very eloquent. I can't do this, God. God already had a plan. Who was God sending already? Aaron. Moses' spokesperson was Aaron. And Exodus chapter 7 verse 1 calls him his prophet. What's a prophet? Somebody who speaks for somebody else. Aaron spoke for Moses, which made him his prophet. Where in the Bible, what chapter, key chapter on your prophet card, what chapter in the Bible do you read about the burning bush? Exodus chapter 3. If you wanted to know where to find that story about the burning bush so that you could share it with some children, Exodus chapter 3 is where we go to learn about that event, about God speaking to Moses out of a burning bush. Next week, we're going to talk about Moses going before Pharaoh. We're going to talk about the plagues. We're going to talk about the Passover and what transpired and try to take those things and tie them to the New Testament to see their significance. All right, that's what we've got tonight. Thank you all for being here.